and welcome to the Word of Life Church podcast. We're delighted you've chosen to spend some time with us today. We believe that today's message has the power to inspire and elevate your faith journey. Before we dive in, we'd like to express our heartfelt thanks to our partners. Your generous contributions make it possible for us to continue spreading the gospel, serving our community, and carrying out our ministry. If today's episode moves you and you'd like to be a part of our mission, we'd invite you to become a partner. Your support has an everlasting impact and allows us to reach even more souls. Now, let's turn our hearts and our minds to the Word as we begin today's episode.
I want to share something real quick that I knew they were going to be singing that song, but I knew too some people would be in this room. They would be, it would be the first time you hearing the word Holy Spirit. And I wanted to pause to make sure that I gave you all scripture on about the Holy Spirit. So real quick, they don't have it. It's not in my notes, but John chapter 16. Go to that. I believe it's actually verse 13. Let me verify that. And just want to talk about the Holy Spirit real quick before we dive into our message today. Actually, I just say, hey, this is a part of the message. But John chapter 16, let me see here. Yes, verses 13 through 15. Verses 13 through 15. As we were singing in that song, we're saying, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Well, what is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? Verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, this is Jesus talking. But when he, the Spirit of truth, not the spirit of lies, not the spirit of confusion, not the spirit of doubt, not the spirit of division, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. So when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to guide you into truth, all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. Notice he will glorify Jesus. He's going to take from that thing, the very things that Jesus has, wisdom, guidance, instruction. He's going to take that from Jesus and bring it to you. Just like at a restaurant, a waiter or a waitress is going to take the food from the kitchen and bring it to you. Hopefully it's not burnt, but if it is, you can send it back. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. Verse 15, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and he will disclose it to you. So the only thing that the Holy Spirit is doing is taking from Jesus and bringing it to us. He's taking it from Jesus and bringing it to us. We just celebrated Easter, the risen King, the risen Savior, and that of what Jesus has done for us, the resurrected King. Jesus, the King, the Lord, the Savior, the giver of life. So the Holy Spirit is taking life and bringing us life. The Holy Spirit is taking the wisdom of God and bringing us the wisdom of God. So when we're saying, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here, we're saying all truth, you are welcome here. The wisdom of God, you are welcome here. The God of peace, the God of comfort, you are welcome here. Come flood it. Come flood this place. Come flood this atmosphere. So wherever there's confusion, it's like, okay, Holy Spirit, there's confusion here. Can you bring agreement? Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Where there's division, Holy Spirit, I don't like this division. So I want you to bring vision here. We need your help, Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. And so that's literally what we're saying, that we want to continue to experience the Holy Spirit. And with that, it's inviting him in. For those of us that are born again and saved, we have the Holy Spirit within us. But then there's that second part of the Holy Spirit, the infilling, where some of you all may have heard the language speaking in tongues. Now, when I was a child, when I was a young man, I'm like, speaking in what? And when I would see it, it's like, yeah, you can keep that. You can keep all that over there to yourself. That wasn't the spirit of truth. But when I learned the truth, I was like, okay, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Holy Spirit, I need you. It's the reason why Jesus left you, because I need you. You are left here. You are brought here because we need the Holy Spirit, the spirit of truth. Does anybody like being lied to? I thought so. So the Holy Spirit, welcome him. Welcome him. Why? He would not lie to you. He's the spirit. Think about it. The spirit of truth. So I just want to encourage you all to learn more about the Holy Spirit. One of the ways you get to learn about the Holy Spirit, this scripture right here, John 16, verses 13 through 15. This is how I came into the knowledge of the Holy Spirit, just realizing he's the spirit of truth. Are there going to be things that you see and that you hear? Line it up with the word of God. The Holy Spirit, as it says, he's not going to speak on his own. He's going to speak exactly what the Father is saying. Just like the waiter and the waitress, they're going to speak exactly to the cook, to the kitchen, what you want. I want me a salmon, medium well, no couscous, drop the couscous, black-eyed peas, give me some cornbread. They're speaking exactly what I'm saying. The cook cooks it that way. Bring it to the table. If it's medium well, what do I do? Hey, I didn't ask for medium well. I want it medium. Medium. Okay, sorry about that, Mr. Barry. We take it back. Because I'm not going to, that's not the truth. I'm going to eat a lie. That's a medium well. That's a lie to me. I want medium. So that's all the Holy Spirit is. That's all he's doing. He's just taking from what the Father is saying and making it known to us so it can be fulfilled in the earth. Now, that is not my message. That was probably about 10 minutes. I only got about 15 minutes now, boy, I tell you the truth. So a question that I have for you, and that I want you really to think about. And I know this is something that we have all experienced, something that even right now we desire. We all desire change. We all desire to see something change. But there is always resistance with change. There's always resistance with change. And a lot of times we don't like that resistance. You know, we on a highway, you know, or we on a street and we going good at a steady speed, 50 miles per hour, but then it goes from green light to yellow light. Really? I don't want to change. I got to be somewhere. But in order to slow down, the brake pad has to be applied to the rotary. Friction. There's a slowing down. There's a change that just took place. We're going 50 miles per hour, but now we have to what? Change. Because we don't want to run into anyone going through the red light. Don't want to get a ticket. That resistance, we don't like resistance. It's okay. I want to talk about why is there resistance. But before I do that, we got a little homework in class. Pop quiz. Whether it's your phone or you have a notepad, it doesn't matter. I want you to write something down for me. I'm going to give you a couple of seconds. Just a couple. This is the question. What are the top three things you desire to see change in? What are the top three things or the top three areas you desire to see change? It could be something personally, you know, you. It could be, hey, you know, I want to be more joyful, you know. I want to be more organized. It could be I want to grow in whatever type of skills, something personally, you know, if you're married or if you're single, you know, it's like, hey, something I desire to see change in my marriage. If it's something with a child, something that I desire to see. If it's professionally on the job, something that you desire to see. It could be the atmosphere. If you are a high school student or in middle school and it's like, man, something I desire to see personally. It could be that you're a sports player. You want to get better at baseball, tennis, soccer, whatever it is. But three things, three areas you desire to see change. You desire to see change. Three areas you desire to see change. In a minute, we're going to read from a Bible, learn about a Bible character that where actually this person wants to see change. But where they are, they literally think they're not fit to bring about the change. There's a lot that's going on in the mindset. There's a lot that's going on in the mentality. And before you can see the change, two things have to happen. Number one, there has to be an awareness. That's why I had you to write down what are the three areas you want to see change in. So there has to be awareness. You have to identify. Where is that place? What is that place I want to see change in? Awareness, awareness. And that's part of the resistance. Sometimes we don't get the change that we desire to see because we aren't aware of what that change is. Another part of that resistance is time. Time to reset the mind. Time to renew the mind. We live in a drive-through world. It's like, man, why is it taking so long? I ordered this 15 minutes ago. Awareness. What are the resistance to change? Awareness, identifying what it is. And then number two, time. Let's look at the stages of change and we'll get to our context here. So the changes that it's interesting. I was looking this up online. And so there are four stages they mentioned. I added a fifth one. So the four stages of change. Number one, contemplation. Acknowledging that there is a problem, but we lack confidence to make a change. We contemplate. We want to see change, but it's, we lack the confidence to make that change. Next, preparation and determination. That's mean getting ready for the change. Now that we move from contemplation, it's like, okay, I acknowledge I see the I need to change, but also two, now I have gained confidence to see the change to come about. Now I need to prepare. Well, what is that? I'm getting ready for the change. Then action is the process that will bring about the change, the action steps. So think in mind the three areas that you want to see change in. You probably have been contemplating, lacking the confidence in that area where you want to see the change. But then some of you may be in the preparation stage, like, you know what? I'm ready. I'm determined because I'm tired of this. But you're ready. Then action steps, the process that will bring about the change. The next two, maintenance. Now that you've actually started the action steps, now you're maintaining the behavior of the change, as in like the discipline. You're putting things into actions consistently. Then this is the last one that I added, evaluation. You are inspecting results and growth. Because even sometimes you put in the action steps, you thought that in the direction you was going, that it was going to bring about that change. But you realize, man, it's not changing like I want it to. It's not looking like how I want it to. So you are evaluating. You are inspecting. Am I getting the results that I desire to see? So we have a young man here in the Bible by the name of Gideon. And Gideon is this guy, is that where Israel, they have been captured and given over to the Midianites. And here he is desiring to see change. But there's something that happened. So let's look at Judges chapter 6, verse 11. We'll start there. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. Now notice Gideon's response. Verse 13, then Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us?" You ever asked the Lord that? Or have you ever felt that way? Might be feeling that way right now. It's okay. "And where are all his miracles, which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of the Midian." The Lord looked at him and said, "Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?" Notice Gideon's response. He said to him, "Oh, Lord, how should I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house." Listen at this contemplation all day long. Lord, you abandoned us. Why did all this happen? If you really are the Lord, why are we in this situation? I can't believe you left us here and you put us in this situation and you call yourself God. But even out of the goodness and the kindness and the mercy of God, he looks at him and he says, "You are that man. You are that man to deliver Israel. Have I not sent you?" But then he comes and said, "Man, I'm the least. My family is the least. I am the youngest." When it comes to those three areas that you wrote down that you desire to see change in, are you looking at those areas like how Gideon is looking at himself? Do you feel that you can't see change in those areas? Do you feel inadequacies. Y'all like that, did it? Inadequacies. Put it up on, there we go. Inadequacies. I want to see change. Just put it up on the screen. Read it. Inadequacies should not lead to insecurities, but rather dependence on God. Gideon is looking at his inadequacies and he's insecure. And even though he wants to see change, he is still making excuses. He is still contemplating. Have you been there? Verse 16. But the Lord said to him, meaning Gideon, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man." Now watch this. Listen to Gideon. So Gideon said to him, "If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign." Have you ever said, "Lord, if this is you, show me a sign"? You got my word. What you need a sign for? "If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me." One thing I know is that when it comes to change, and even asking a couple of other people, asking my son and my daughter, and asking a couple of other friends, I was like, I did the same thing just like this. I said, "Hey, think about three areas that you desire to see change, and I want you to write it down." And so they wrote them down, different people that I asked. And it was amazing how both fit into two different categories. They knew the areas they wanted to see change. Then I said, "Describe," this is the second part, "the three areas that you wrote down to see change in, describe how you would feel with those changes taking place. Would you feel joyful? Would you feel happy, excited? Like, how would you feel?" Then I said, "Okay, now that you know how you feel, what do you think it takes to help bring about that change? What will it take?" So you had some on this side, it was like, "Help, need people." It's like, "Yep, that's right." On this side, it's like, "Well, you know, I like to do things by myself, so I'm a research on my own, and I'm not going to ask for help." I'm like, do you really think that you will see the change that you desire to see? Do you really think that you can feel joyful and happy if you don't get people on your side to help you? You know, for me, there are three areas. I give you my three areas that where I want to see change in personally is in to grow in deeper revelation and knowledge with the Holy Spirit. That's why I read that out. John 16, verses 13 through 15. I want to grow more personally with him. He's the Spirit of truth. I need his help. That's one of the things it talks about the Holy Spirit. He's the helper, the counselor, the guide, the comforter, the standby. He is all these things. Well, how can I tap into him more? How can I grow more personally with him so I can walk into the things of the truth to help bring about change in my life, in my marriage, in my family, but also to this church and this city? I need help. The Holy Spirit is that person. Secondly, where I want to see change, marriage. We good, y'all. My wife and I, we good. We not going nowhere. They're just saying where I want to see some change because things can always get better. I said, babe, I want a honeymoon every weekend. Well, with that honeymoon every weekend, I have to make sure I'm going in that direction. And so what do? I pull out Proverbs 31. And I start speaking those things over her concerning our house. And it's not that I don't see her as my wife. It's like, man, I want to grow deeper with you because I said that I'm going to be with you for the rest of my life. So how can I start making changes to make sure that we're continuing to go in that area? We'll be married 18 years this year. I'm like, I said, babe, we're going to be that first couple unless Jesus return first. We're going to be married for 100 years. I know. Else I said, my Lord, I need help with that change, Lord. Got to help me. But I want that honeymoon every weekend, every week. Well, guess what? I have to start speaking in that direction. It's not that I don't, but how can I speak more? Even in her absence, how can I see that she is my helpmate? How can I see that she takes care of the house, the affairs of the house? How can I see that we're in unity in conversation together? I need scripture, so I pull out Proverbs 31. Thirdly, the community. I'm like, Lord, I want to see change. And what I realize, there will be resistance. Do I want to draw closer to the Holy Spirit? Yes, there will be resistance. The snooze button. Bed feeling so good, man, I don't want to get up. Like, get up, brother. Snooze button. Sometimes that resistance is, you know, it's like it's the daytime and I'm wide awake. And he's like, hey, I know you want to go to that meeting and that meeting is scheduled, but hey, I need you to reschedule that meeting. But Lord, but what about them? What about me? You're not prepared to go to that meeting. There's some things I need to impart into you before you go to that meeting. Yes, sir. Resistance. I'm thinking about what they're going to think. There's going to be resistance. So with the community, I'm that type of person. I believe with all my heart. When the Lord sends you to a place, he's not sending you there for things to remain the same. He's sending you there to help bring about his change. But with that, you have to renew your mind, but it takes time. And so I'm like, Lord, who do I need? What are the people? How do we navigate through this? How do we talk about this? Because, Lord, I have some inadequacies. And also, too, I have some insecurities. But I want to depend on you. Help me depend on you more. And so I'm having this conversation, talking, and meeting with different people in the city. And one of the organizations that we partner with as a church is called Keeping Jackson Beautiful. And it is called Adopt the Spot. Y'all can pull it up on the screen. It's called Adopt the Spot. They'll pull it up here. So with this Adopt the Spot, it's just basically saying in the community where you are or area that you see that you want to help beautify, take ownership, pick up trash, remove small debris of trash, litter, branches, vines off the fence. You can adopt that spot, that block, and it is yours, and you're taking ownership of that. So what we've done as a church, we've adopted a spot, Keeping Jackson Beautiful. We're the first church to do this. And in being that, it's this block that's right here at the red light, that's right across from our outreach center. So where we are now, this is Capitol Street up top. Capitol Street, you come down to Rose, then you come down to Grand, and then you go up to Armadale. And so I'm like, Lord, I see things that are being, how can I say this? Because I want to make sure I say it in the correct way. I see things that can be better. Why isn't it changing? Why is it the same? Why is it that trash can sit for a month and no one does anything? They see it, but no one moves. I want to see change. So I research. I do my research, adopt a spot. But now we need people. We need help. Because with this, this is two blocks from our campus. And I'm like, Lord, you sent us here as a church, meaning we are here to bring about the change that will magnify your name. But if we're not doing what you told us to do, we can be here as a church and that block will look the same the next 6 months if we don't do our part. And I'm like, Lord, I know I'm a change agent going somewhere to bring about change. Where do we need to set up as a church? So what we've done, we've adopted this spot. And on Saturday, April 20th, we'll go out and we have the city of Jackson. We have other organizations, schools that will come out and help us clean this block Saturday, April 20th. But guess what? April 27th comes around. That's a week after that. Because, you know, when you pick up trash, people want to put trash back in the same place where you just pick the trash up. And they're like, really, y'all? What's going on? And what I want to do is I want us to come together to help bring about a change in an area that hasn't seen change in years. Now, will it be resistance? Yes. It's okay. That's part of it. Well, how can we navigate through it? It's whenever we meet up, the day and the time, and we come together and we say, every single week, we're going to take ownership of our city one spot at a time. One spot at a time. So this is one block that we're going to adopt. I want to go all the way up to Prentice Street, where the old Popeyes used to be. From this one spot to Prentice Street is 9 blocks. I want to have ownership 9 blocks. Anything that's within our campus is going to look good. It's going to smell good. When people drive by, they're going to get encouraged. They're going to get inspired. And guess what? We will be the model as a church to help bring about that change in the community. Guess what? We're not the only people that want to see that change. There are people in the community that I've talked to that want to see the change, but guess what? They need help too. So as a church, we're coming together and we're going to do this. Do we have the other picture of the sign? Were you able to put that up? So what we have, ooh, I like this. I don't know if y'all can see it real good, but it says adopt a spot cared for by Word of Life Poindexter, Keeping Jackson Beautiful, and the City of Jackson. What I want to do is I want people to, when they ride by this spot, they get to see who owns it. There's a story as I get ready to close. Musicians, you can come on up. A book that I read, No More Broken Windows. And it's talking about there were literally in the city in New York that where there were abandoned buildings, dilapidated, where it was graffiti, where there were bus windows out. And what would they do? They would paint over the graffiti and they would replace the broken windows. Soon as they do that, people would come back and they would break the windows again. And they would spray paint over the area that was just painted and made the building look back good. Guess what? They painted over the graffiti and they fixed the broken window. After they did that, they broke the windows again and then they spray painted over the buildings where graffiti wasn't. Now it's back. Graffiti is back on the building and now there's more broken windows. Guess what they did? They repaired the broken windows and they painted the building, removing graffiti. After doing that for several weeks, There were no more broken windows. There were no more graffitis being painted on the buildings. Why? Because they saw, like, man, they're taking ownership of this place. They're taking ownership of these buildings, and things that we used to do, we can't do it here no more. And what I've learned is if we want to see change, we have to be the change agents first. A motto I have, be the change, lead the change you desire to see. Be the change, lead the change that you desire to see. So in those three areas that you wrote down, will you be the change and lead the change that you desire to see in those areas? Will it be resistance? Yes. But think about the impact it will make when those changes come about. Think about the lives that will be touched when that change comes about. And so for us as a community, as a church, I literally do believe that as we make this shift, as we continue to shift outward and focus in this community where God has called us, God literally can set up shop where he has always designed to be since the beginning of time. And a lot of times we look at it like Gideon did. Lord, why did you abandon us? Lord, if you are God, why is this happening? Lord, if you are so good, why do we have to go and pick up trash? Why people just won't put trash in a trash can? Lord, if you are so good, why do we have dilapidated buildings and the streets looking like how they are? If you're so good, why is this, Lord? And the Lord is like, I hear you, but have I not sent you to deliver the grounds from having trash on the street, from having dilapidated buildings up and down on my landscape? You do realize I created the earth, right? And even in me creating the earth, Satan himself got dominion and authority when Adam ate of the fruit. And so now the world is in its fallen state, but I need you, my son, my daughter, who is saved. I need you in your risen state. And as you are in your risen state, wherever you go, anything that is fallen, when you put your hands to it, it will rise. Will there be resistance? Yes. But will you rise up to that resistance? Because that resistance is not powerful than you. You are powerful than that resistance. So there will be times you will feel inadequate. There will be times you will feel insecure, but that's when you need to realize, depend on me. Just as we celebrated Easter, it looked like Jesus was dead. It looked like Jesus had fallen, but on the third day he rose. And so God is saying, I know it looks like this city has fallen. I know it looks like your life has fallen. But will you realize there is a risen Savior on the inside of you? So when it comes to those three areas, it looks like things won't change. But I want you to look at those three areas and say, you will rise in Jesus' name. So I want you to be encouraged. I want to be encouraged. I'm going to keep my eyes on the risen Savior, my risen Savior, my risen King, my risen Lord. And I'm going to let him talk to me. And as he talked to me, the change will come. So let's be encouraged today. We've all been in that stage of contemplation, that where we lack confidence. But hopefully you have been inspired this morning. Worship team, you can come up. To realize, you know what? Yeah, we all have lacked confidence. But we all desire to see change. Let's take the action steps that are needed. And realize we have a risen Savior. We have our risen Lord Jesus on the inside. And as we do this, we will see the change take place. And so, if you haven't already, we have it on the website, thelife.cc/go-day. And sign up. And let's take these streets. Everybody has a Word of Life Poindexter t-shirt if you was here on the anniversary. That's what we gonna rep. Word of Life Poindexter t-shirts. We want them to know who is taking over the city. And it's not to brag on us. It's to brag on God. It's just to say, hey, we serve a risen Lord. We serve a risen King, and we're going to represent Him. And we're going to help lead the change. But we know the change starts in us. And so each month, I'm going to come and I'm going to say, hey, where are you in those three areas? Are you seeing results? Have you taken that action step to see change come about? Are you rising up to the man? Are you rising up to the woman that God has created you to be? Because there's history waiting to be made from your hands. There's history waiting to be made from your mouth. There's history waiting to be made from your eyes. There's history waiting to be made from your feet in the places that you will walk in the places that have fallen to the ground. But when you walk into the room, the risen Savior that lives in you as a son, that lives in you as a daughter, now life comes, now light comes, now vision comes, simply because you walked into the room with Jesus Christ on the inside of you. And when you begin to open up your mouth, words of life, words of vision, words of hope. When you look into the faces of the people with your eyes, the eyes of vision, the eyes of hope, the eyes of dreaming again, the eyes of encouragement, the eyes of you can do this. When you look at them, everything that had fallen to the ground in their heart, it will now rise simply because of the way you looked at them. So let's be the change. Let's lead the change that we desire to see. Let's bow our heads. God, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this moment. Thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, that we get to understand that we are change agents going somewhere to happen to bring about the change that you desire to see. And Father, right now, you know those three areas that everyone wrote down or everyone is thinking about in their mind, before their families, their lives personally. Father, I just thank you that your hand is upon them. Father, anyone that lacks confidence, I thank you in Jesus' name. They will not cast away that confidence, Father, for it has great recompense of reward. So I thank you that as they begin to dream again, I thank you that as they begin to pick up their confidence in you, Father, I thank you that you are rewarding them in those three areas that they desire to see change, that they will not quit, that they will not give up, but Father, they will keep their eyes simple on you in the name of Jesus. Before I close, is there anyone here that's saying, today I desire to give my life to Christ or renew my life to Christ? I know for me, that is an area I need to change first in my heart, recognizing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. If that's you this morning, just simply lift up your hand and allow me to pray for you. Thank you. I see that hand. I see those hands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I see those hands. I see that hand in the back. Thank you, Usher, for helping me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I see that hand. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So everyone just repeat this prayer after me. Say, dear God, I thank you for creating me. And out of creating me, you created me for good. So I thank you for loving me through your son, Jesus, that out of that love, you gave him just for me. God, I ask you to forgive me of any sins that I have committed toward you. Jesus, I desire that you come into my life and be my Lord and be my Savior. Help me live out the life that God has created me to live, and I'll do it from this day forward. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.